Detroit's renowned Mosaic Youth Theater is marking this 60th anniversary year of Motown by going back to the earliest days of Motown. They're bringing back Now That I Can Dance, Motown 1962. This play tells the story of the Marvelettes and Motown's first number one record on the pop charts, Please, Mr. Postman. It is written and directed by my guest, Rick Sperling, who is Mosaic's founding artistic director. Welcome. Good to have you with us.
So glad to be here. Thanks.
I know this is not the debut. You've done this show. Where does Now That I Can Dance rank, in your view, in the 27-year history of the Mosaic Youth Theater as far as being popular and well-received?
The most popular show we've ever done. This will be our fourth production of it. It's been 7 years, though, since we did it last, and I don't think a week goes by over that entire 7 years that someone hasn't said, when are you bringing back Now That I Can Dance? It just really hit a chord with a lot of people.
Why do you think that is?
First of all, people love Motown, not just here, but nationally, internationally. But this tells a Motown story that has never really been told before, not in Motown the Musical, not in Ain't Too Proud on Broadway right now. And that's these early gritty days. And I explain that the best way to describe these days is it's before the Supremes or the Temptations had one number one hit. So this is about when Berry Gordy and a small group of people were trying to figure out what they were doing. But the music from that era is so incredible. We focus on the Marvelettes.
Yeah, and they were four kids from Inkster, weren't they?
Actually, all together, six. And then they went down to four. And no one knows their story. People know Please, Mr. Postman, but they don't know anything about the group. And the more I researched it, the more rich a story it was, and really a story that really represented those early days.
How so?
Well, these were girls that really had, you know, they had experience singing in their high school choir at Inkster, but they had no other experience. One of the most incredible stories that comes out of this is the story of Georgia Dobbins. And Georgia Dobbins was a 19-year-old girl from Inkster who was the lead singer for the group before they were called the Marvelettes. And Berry Gordy said, I want you to create some new material and come back after their first audition. So this girl, 19 years old, Georgia Dobbins, in 2 days writes Please, Mr. Postman. And they're all excited. They go back. They sing it. The Motown loves it. They said, okay, now sign your contracts. And she happened to come from a very, very religious family that didn't believe in singing anywhere outside of church. And the father would not sign the contract. And she never got to perform with the Marvelettes. And it's a really sad story. When I finally got to interview her, she said she didn't sing again after that moment. She was so hurt. She didn't sing again for 17 years. And I said, why 17 years? That's my father died in 17 years. So, I mean, those kind of stories are so, there's a tragedy and an exuberance, too. It's not just the Marvelettes, the stories of the Vandellas and how Martha Reeves kind of worked them in through the side door into their big opportunity, first as background singers for Marvin Gaye. The story of Marvin Gaye is amazing, too. In these days, Marvin Gaye was a drummer for the Miracles, and his dream was to be the Black Frank Sinatra. And all he wanted to do was sing standards. He didn't want to sing pop songs, didn't want to sing soul.
He wanted the Great American Songbook.
He wanted that. In fact, in our show, we recreate his version of Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her the sweetest girl that I've ever seen.
And so we actually see his transformation from this guy into the Marvin Gaye that we know. And so many other kind of hidden, untold stories about what it was like for Diana Ross. She was known as Diane back then.
Yeah.
When they were the no-hit Supremes, when she was sure she was going to be a star, but everyone else was getting hits and she wasn't. This was all within, we call it Motown 1962, but it really was from 1961 to 64. All of these things happened during that time.
Long before there was Holland, Dozier, Holland, and the Supremes were playing before the Queen of England.
Exactly.
There was a lot that, and I know you relied on source material from these performers and from these artists. What struck you most as you talk to these often overlooked early Motown stars?
Well, first of all, I should say this is a collaboration with the Motown Museum. Mm-hmm. And I have to give credit to Robin Terry, the executive director, because 14 years ago, she said, why don't you do a play about Motown? And I said, well, because we want to do stories about young people. That's what Mosaic Youth Theater is about. Yeah. And Robin said, you know, in 1962, they were all teenagers. And that's when it all came together, that this was a story we could tell. But then they helped us talk to the real people. And our main source is Katherine Anderson Schaffner, who goes by Kat. She was the main Marvelette from the beginning to the end. But we also had great talks with the Vandellas, with members of the Contours, members of the Miracles, Stevie Wonder's tutor on the road, Cal Street from the Velvelettes. And one of the things that I think is so interesting is you think of this as being Detroit, and it was based in Detroit, but these kids were coming from everywhere. The Velvelettes were coming from Kalamazoo.
Didn't Stevie come from Bay City? Right.
And Saginaw area, the first number one pop hit was the Marvelettes from Inkster. So these were kids kind of coming from everywhere to Detroit to have this incredible moment.
Now, there's a lot weighing on the shoulders of this cast to get it right. These are beloved songs. So tell us a little about your cast. Where'd you draw
them
from?
We did this once before with the show where it's a multi-age group. The cast ranges in age from 11 to 50. And it was open to the community. 20 members of the cast are Mosaic alumni. Some of the key members are current members, but other people are people that we just found. The Motown Museum let us do auditions at Studio A in Hitsville. Because we were able to choose, this is the best cast we've ever had. And I've told them, because there are people in this cast that are just born to play this role. We have a 16-year-old who is born to play Gladys Horton, the lead singer of the Marvelettes. She's just born for it. But we also have someone who's born to play Marvin Gaye, someone else who's born to play Smokey Robinson. It's really a unique thing where the casting really represents who these people are. And when you have those Detroit voices there, it just has this authenticity, and especially these early days. You will hear some songs like Do You Love Me Now That I Can Dance, but there's also incredible songs like Come and Get These Memories and Stubborn Kind of Fella. And so I think that's what makes this show so popular, is that this is a story people haven't heard, but also is something that's so, it's so relatable.
And Rick Sperling, I know, I mean, you wrote this, you directed this, you have been, you're the founding artistic director, but you're not just commemorating Motown's 60th anniversary. This is your last production with Mosaic.
This is my swan song. After 27 years, I am passing the baton off to one of our alumni who was in Mosaic, then became a teaching artist and worked her way up the ranks to associate artistic director. And now Dela Shea Strotter is her name, and she's taking over. And that was really the dream when I started Mosaic, is I wanted an organization that would be sustainable long beyond me. I'll continue to be pursuing this mission, but not with Mosaic. I'm consulting with the Detroit Public Schools Community District, focusing on their Schools of the Arts and Arts Excellence Program. So it's still going to be for me about empowering young people to do great things through the arts, but on a larger scale.
When I stop and it is absolutely not hard to draw a line between the Detroit area kids who grew up to be Motown legends and the Detroit area kids who discovered the joys of performing arts through Mosaic Youth Theater. I mean, it's all a very beautifully complete circle.
We first did it, Bobby Rogers from The Miracle, who passed away a few years ago. He came to one of our rehearsals when we were talking to the kids, and he looked around and he said, "This is the first time I've felt this energy since the early days of Motown. This is what it felt like." I can't think of a better show to be my last show than this. It represents Detroit. It represents what's great about Mosaic. And to have 20 of our alumni, and I'm proud to say we're about to have our fifth alumni on Broadway this fall. One of our alumni just won a Tony Award this past year, Celia Keenan-Bolger.
I saw her.
So amazing.
To Kill a Mockingbird, she plays the most beautiful scout you could ever want to see.
So great.
One of your alums.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on your 27 years with Mosaic, and a great way to celebrate your 27 years and also the 60th birthday of Motown is to go see your play.
Absolutely.
Now That I Can Dance, Motown 1962. It opens Friday, August 9th and closes August the 18th. Just go to mosaicdetroit.org. You get all the details and ticket information. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.